morning. Made change this morning simply in awareness of what many people are thinking and feeling at the start of the new year, some difficult experiences that have been going on, and we want to start this new year off with a message from the Word of the Lord that speaks to an understanding of our human condition, the very things that we deal with. That also gives us a powerful word of hope, for it is the engine that drives the human soul, our hope in God, allowing us to press forward in faith and in life. So this is a psalm for people with pressure on all sides. Psalm 31. Hear the word of the Lord. This is a psalm of David, director of music. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. For as for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering terror on every side, and they conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you, but let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Let their lying lips be silenced with pride, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. But how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of all those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he has showed me the wonders of his love when I was a city under siege. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet, you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. The word of the Lord. Psalm 31 is for those who experience a convergence of high-pressure systems that unfold in what we might call a perfect storm. Another way of stating it is a common phrase, when it rains, it pours, or even another way is Murphy's Law, right? If something can and might go wrong, it likely will. And of all the biblical characters that our minds might be drawn to when we hear about the perfect storm, I think Job would be the first person that comes to mind. We sang, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. And he is the one who had a very, very, very bad day when all that he held close, dear to him, were destroyed within hours. Affliction, loss, struggle. And the rest of the book of Job is about him and his friends discussing whether or not he deserved it and what God was up to in this painful experience. And of course, his friends thought they knew it all. They thought they could explain the ways and the means by which God was unfolding the story of Job's life. And it's a book that flows from praise to anger to lack of understanding and yet back to faith again, where God both rebukes those who try to figure out and provide an answer for his ways, his friends who thought they knew the will of the Lord in it, but also a rebuke from the Lord to Job saying, "Listen, who are you to question me? I am your Lord and I am your God." And it is the very thing that moves him back to his feet to a place of faith. And as I was reading Psalm 31, I couldn't help but think of the book of Job, for it gives a distinct impression of the feeling of pressure from all sides and yet wanting to make sense of it in light of what we believe about the Lord. And though this psalm begins, as we've read, on a note of praise, it quickly becomes clear what the psalmist is really feeling. For the writer, David here, describes the plague of pains that have come upon him. I give the title of this message from a book of a friend of mine who I studied with in England named Jonathan Aitken. He wrote a book called Psalms for People Under Pressure, and he experienced that in his own life in tremendous ways. And he points out some very helpful things, is that verse 9 shows that David's woes include the physical ones. "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief." Includes mental illness, maybe even in verse 10, a sign of nervous breakdown. "My life is consumed by anguish and my years of groaning. My strength is failing altogether because of my affliction." He has slander from his enemies in verse 11. "Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors." Hostility from his friends, verse 11. "I am the dread to my friends." That's just a bad day, right? "Those who see me on the street run away. I am forgotten as though I were dead." He's struggling with absolute paranoia from plots that you think may be coming against him. And you read David's life. They in fact did. "They conspire against me and plot to take my life." And verse 13, just sheer terror. "I hear many whispering." There's just terror on every side. David trusts no one. It's a person on the verge of losing it. He's had a string, in fact, of bad days, and he can hardly stand it. And have you ever had a prayer like this one, where you start off on a simple yet faithful note of thanks to the Lord, only to jump into the honest but very real tantrum that you experience? "Hello, haven't you noticed, Lord? I'm in the middle of a hurricane. Let me tell you again what's happening in case you have forgotten." We all have prayers like this, if we're honest enough to admit it. There will come times in our lives when it seems like the rain has been pouring down and it's not letting up, which is why it's all the more important to turn to God and to communicate to Him what He already knows. We often think that our prayers, the Psalms, are really a book of prayers, that they have to somehow unfold in kind of a litany of piety. It is just to say, as the King James kind of praying, "O Lord, please blessest me, for Thou art great." And you can never say really what's on your heart. David does. The man who had the heart of the Lord tells him what he in fact is experiencing. It includes praise, but it also includes this honest reality that he's communicating to the Lord, which the Lord, in fact, already knows about him. And there will be times when, in fact, problem upon problem will begin to pile up. When we face various struggles and hardships, struggles at home, there's illness, there is cancer, there is fatigue, there is someone fading away, there is death to walk through, the loss of a spouse, the loss of a child. There are false rumors being spread about you, who thought were your friends and you turned out that they ran from you in a pinch. Nothing less than pressure from all sides. And I wish that I could give you a how-to sermon. 5 ways to decrease pressure in your life. For what is it that we need to know? What is the wisdom of the Bible in enabling us to get out from this pressure? We all want to know how to stop it, how to get away from it. And our typical response to experiencing pressure from all sides is either to bemoan the fact or to make a plan, a 5-point plan, to get rid of it altogether. But as the example of Job shows, as David here shows us here, there are times in our life when pressure is not simply a valve that we can find and release. It's quite often beyond the realm of our own control. It cannot be fixed with a stroke. There is no book at Barnes & Noble that says The Dummy's Guide for Getting Out of Pressure. Psalm 31 is simply a psalm that describes what it looks like and yet helps us to endure in it, to move forward through it. This is how we are sustained in the midst of pressure. Because it describes what it is that we're feeling and yet proclaims the truth of what is true about God, despite and oftentimes in contradiction to the way in which we feel. That is to say, our emotions can and never should be the barometer of what is true. They can be the barometer of what is wrong, but not what is steadfast and must be held on to. So what hope, therefore, is to be found in this psalm? Well, as we've seen, the writer has laid out many problems. David has just described them, and they're serious. And the things that we struggle with are very serious as well. We don't want to belittle them or bemoan them or to pretend that we can just escape from them, a mind over matter type of scenario. If I just pretend it's not as bad as it is, it will somehow go away. That's not a good idea at all. What does David do here? Well, he cries out to the Lord in the midst of his anguish, believing some very important things. That there is no indication or promise here that his problems will immediately be resolved. The Lord indeed gives him strength to endure, to stand up in the pressure of them all. When he begins to panic even, he was shown the truth that the Lord is faithful and is that which he holds on to. He says, "In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." It's really a battle cry. If you remember the phrase, it says, my city was under siege. I love that phrase. It's just an illustration of the walls were being attacked from all sides. And yet, he says, these things, the Lord hears. The Lord is not deaf. The Lord does not ignore or put his fingers in his ears in the midst of our anguish, in the midst of our frustrations. He hears. He hears when his people call for help. He wants, in fact, to answer. He does so within the framework of his sovereign will. But he hears, and David knows that he is a God who hears. He is not the blind watchmaker who starts the world in motion, steps back and watches to see how it unfolds. He hears. He hears his people. And at the end of it, he not only admits that the Lord has been gracious to him, and he has actually preserved him in the midst of these severe struggles. The Lord preserves those who were true to him. To have such a hope in the refuge and the strength of the Lord in the midst of the great struggle is amazing enough. But then for him to move in the last phrase to encourage and help others is simply nothing less than the miraculous provision of God to sustain. I have watched this unfold in powerful ways yesterday at a painful funeral. Two tremendously difficult experiences in the life of our own congregation in the fall. And I've watched people in the midst of their own struggles be able to speak to those in pain and in heartache to say, be strong and take heart. Hope in the Lord. You have David in the midst of his pain turning and being an encouragement. Paul describes this, that we as Christians who have received the comfort of the Lord in the midst of our pain are the very ones who can with authenticity and integrity turn and give comfort to others from the very resources of comfort we have received from the Lord. The Lord hears. The Lord is faithful. The Lord preserves his people. He will not let them go. And therefore, we encourage one another by saying, be strong and take heart, you who hope in the Lord. Well, I was a bit off by saying at the beginning that Job may have had the worst recorded day in Scripture. There was another really bad day where what the psalmist here is describing in Psalm 31 actually happened. Where there was some who experienced physical pain, whose eyes were weak with sorrow and his body was filled with pain. He also experienced that mental anguish, a consuming anguish, as he thought of the plan for his life that he was actually committing himself to. He was a person whose life and mission was exemplary, strangely producing quite a number of enemies along the way, both from his own friends and those who ruled over him. His friends abandoned him in the moments that he most needed them, afraid to even be associated with his name. And there was a conspiracy to end his life, politically and religiously. Significant terror and uproar in the town, wondering if, in fact, the revolution was underfoot, needing to be crushed. And at the end of this really bad day, stuck to a Roman cross, he spoke the same words that David wrote in Psalm 31, verse 5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. In the midst of those times when it seems as if we are being hit from pressure at all sides, this truth has two powerful implications for us. First, because Jesus experienced this pressure from all sides, he knows exactly what it is that we're going through. He's the only one who can actually say that with integrity, saying, I know how you feel. He has walked in our shoes, and he alone, as the writer of Hebrews puts it, can empathize and sympathize with us in our weaknesses and our struggles. We're not alone in this. You're not alone in this. But secondly, because Jesus experiences severe pressure from all sides in this very unique and unrepeatable way, we will never experience a day as bad as that. For because he faithfully committed his spirit into the hands of his Father, he took upon himself that which we alone deserved to endure. And because he did that, we can recite that scripture that Paul himself rhetorically asked of the church in Rome. In the midst of difficulties that they were experiencing in their own lives, he asked it, and we say it again today. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. These are all very bad things, right? No, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, the Lord preserves those who are true to him. Be strong and take heart, as Psalm 31 says, all you who hope in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, as we prepare our hearts now to come to the table, we ask that you would fill them with hope. We know that hope is only true and real in our lives when we have placed our faith in Christ. When we have said to him, Lord, you are Savior and I am not. You are Lord and I am not. You are perfect and I am sinful. And yet in faith and in believing, we are yours. Reveal to us now the depth of our hope, that in the taking of the body and the blood of Christ, we know that you are with us and that you will see us through into the end. And it is alone on this hope that we stand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.